Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody to today's Bhagavatam lecture, class, talk, discourse, yes. Hopefully we'll do more discoursing than lecturing. You won't all have to suffer. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Thank you. Assemble devotees key. Excuse me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, Verse number 4. Canto 11, Chapter 15, Verse 4. Actually, it's verses 4 and 5, but we'll just chant verse 4 together. Anima Mahima Murtir. Anima Mahima Murtir. Lagima Praptir Indriyai. Lagima Praptir Indriyai. Prakamyam Shruta Dristeshu. Prakamyam Shruta Dristeshu. Sakti Praranam Isita. Sakti Preranam Isita. Anima Mahima Murte. Lagima Praptir Indriyai. Prakamyam Shruta Dristeshu. Sakti Preranam Isita. You want to try? Anima Mahima Murtir. Lagima Praptir Indriyai. Prakamyam Shruta Dristeshu. Sakti Prerinam Isita. Do you want to try?
Yeah.
Okay, then, well, let Mataji, do you want to try? Okay. Sam, go ahead. Anima Mahima Murtir.
Lagima Praptir Sehiya.
Lagima Praptir Injiyai.
Prakamyam Srute Drishtu.
Prakamyam Srute Drishtu.
Sakti Prama Ishita.
Sakti Pranam Isita. Wow, Sam, very good. Excellent. Nice job, everybody. Thanks for being here, too, everybody, and listening. So, that's the first verse, text 4. Text 5 is included with it. Guneshu asango vasita yat kamastad avishyati etame siddhaya samya asto otpatika mataha anima. We'll do word for word. The perfection of becoming smaller than the smallest. Mahima. Becoming greater than the greatest. Murte. Of the body. Lagima. Becoming lighter than the lightest. Prapti. Acquisition. Indriyai. By the senses. Prakamyam, obtaining or performing whatever one desires. Shruta, things invisible about which one only hears. Dristeshu, and things visible. Sakti Praranam, manipulating the sub-potencies of Maya. Isita, the perfection of controlling. Guneshu, in the modes of material nature. Asangaha, being unobstructed. Vasita, the power to bring others under control. Yat, whatever. Kama, desire, there may be. Tat, that. Avashyati, one can obtain. Eta, these. Me, or maybe it's me. My potencies. Siddhaya, mystic perfections. Somya, O gentle Uddhava. Astau, eight. Outpatika, natural and unexcelled. Mata, understood to be. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Among the eight primary mystic perfections, the three by which one transforms one's own body are anima, becoming smaller than the smallest, mahima, becoming greater than the greatest, and lagima, becoming lighter than the lightest. Through the perfection of prapti, one acquires whatever one desires. And through pakyama siddhi, one experiences any enjoyable object, either in this world or the next. Excuse me. Through isita siddhi, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of maya. And through the controlling potency called Vashita Siddhi, one is unimpeded by the three modes of nature. One who has acquired Kamya Vashita Siddhi can obtain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit. My dear gentle Uddhava, these eight mystic perfections are considered to be naturally existing and unexcelled within this world. Purport. Through anima siddhi, one can become so small that one can enter a stone or pass through any obstacle. Through mahima siddhi, one becomes so great that one covers everything. And through lagima, one becomes so light that one can ride on the sun's rays into the sun planet. Wow. Do you think you could do that? If you became so light, you can ride on the sun's rays to the sun planet. Wow. That's how they ride on the light beams, like beams of light going. They become so light that they're practically like light, right? And they can ride on the sunbeams.
Wow.
Through Prapti Siddhi, one can acquire anything from anywhere and can even touch the moon with one's finger.
Wow.
Do you think people can do that? Can they touch the moon with their finger?
No.
But Krishna is explaining a way that by developing mystic potencies, you can do these things. These are all called siddhis, or mystic potencies, mystic perfections. And Krishna is explaining them to us, I think mostly so that we won't want them. Because we're going to find out that despite Krishna explaining all these things, he's going to say, don't do it. You don't need it. Just be a devotee. Just perform bhakti. Bhakti is way better, and you don't have to waste your time trying to acquire all these potencies or these yoga, mystic yoga powers. You can just worship Krishna. You can just chant Hare Krishna. And actually, you get a position that's even better than the yogis, right? When they get all these, when they try to get these mystic powers. So let's read some more about the powers. And all these powers come from Krishna. It's very interesting how he explains it. This mystic perfection can also, by this mystic perfection, one can also enter into the senses of any other living entity through the predominating deities of the particular senses. And by thus utilizing the senses of others, one can acquire anything. Through pragyamya, one can experience any enjoyable object, either in this world or the next. And through isita, or the controlling potency, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of maya, which are material. In other words, even by acquiring mystic powers, one cannot pass beyond the control of illusion. However, one may manipulate the sub-potencies of illusion. Through vashita, or the power to control, one can bring others under one's dominion or keep oneself beyond the control of the three modes of nature. Ultimately, one acquires through kamyavashita the power, the maximum powers of control, acquisition, and enjoyment. The word autpaktika in this verse indicates being original, natural, and unexcelled. These eight mystic potencies originally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the superlative degree. Lord Krishna becomes so small that he enters within the atomic particles, and he becomes so large that as Mahavishnu, he breathes out millions of universes. The Lord can become so light or subtle that even great mystic yogis cannot perceive him. And the Lord's acquisitive power is perfect because he keeps the total existence eternally within his body. The Lord certainly can enjoy whatever he likes, control all energies, dominate all other persons, and exhibit complete omnipotency. Therefore, it is to be understood that these eight mystic perfections are insignificant expansions of the mystic potency of the Lord, who in Bhagavad Gita is called Yogeshvara, the Supreme Lord of all mystic potencies. These eight perfections are not artificial, but are natural and unexcelled, because they originally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyanasimanandasya Jananjanan Salakaya Chakshu and Militam Jaina Tasma Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobicham Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam. Excuse me, I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. From my humble obeisances under the dust of his lotus feet. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Tamal Krishna Goswamini Tinamani. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirishesha Sunyavadi Pashkatari Shatarine. Vanchakalpa Trubhascha Kripa Sindhu Vasivacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. What did you think of this verse, Luciano? Did you like it? Seemed kind of hard to understand. Thumbs up. Yeah, it's kind of a difficult section, I guess you could say, or maybe it's one of those sections where you kind of wonder, why are we hearing all this? Right? It's very detailed. It's specific. It's about mystic powers, and it's like, wait a minute, why is this here? Uddhava and Krishna are having a dialogue. Krishna is speaking to his dear disciple Uddhava, and Uddhava has asked these questions. So Krishna is responding to these questions in a way to explain things that we need to understand, because sometimes, even though we know that, like, bhakti is superior, because we're all practicing bhakti, right? Thank you, Prabhu. We're practicing bhakti, and we know it's superior, but at the same time, we still have all these questions about when we go to India. Like, we'll see these yogis, right? Have you been to India yet? No, you'll go soon. And when you go, you'll see, like, all different kinds of people, you know, and you'll see mystic yogis, right? And sometimes they'll have long dreadlocks, or they'll have different tilak on, and they're performing these different austerities. And the austerities are to get mystic powers. They want mystic powers. And they want to be able to control things. They've understood Brahmajyoti, maybe Paramatma, and they think that's it. This is the bliss of Brahmajyoti. This is a bliss of understanding gods and everything. And I can become God if I just practice these austerities, right? So you see lots of different people, and they're all after different things. So part of our duty as preachers is we have to understand, you know, sometimes what are other people after, even to the highest degree. These are very difficult things to perform. And Srila Prabhupada talks to us. I was reading from His Grace Shyamasundar Prabhu's book, Chasing Rhinos with Srila Prabhupada. And he talks about this. Srila Prabhupada mentioned the mystic powers and yogis. He said, yogis, some of them, you'll see them in India, they're 300 or 400 or 500 years old. Do you know anyone who's that old? No. But in India, there's people that are 300 or 400 or 500 years old. Have you met anyone that old, Sam?
No.
Do you believe it, that they could be 300 or 400 or 500 years old?
Not exactly.
Sam doesn't believe it. Okay, here's how they do it, Sam. They control their senses, and they can control their breathing, and they can slow down their bodily function. They only breathe like once a day. You know, they can do all these, and they get mystic powers from this. And then they can live for a lot longer. And that's good if you're trying to develop mystic powers, because you're going to need a long time. You're going to need a long time to get these powers, because they're very difficult. You have to control your senses. You have to focus your mind only on the tip of the nose. You have it's impossible. And in Kali Yuga, I mean, it's difficult in other ages, right? It takes thousands of years in other ages, and still the yogis can be pulled away so easily. Just hearing the ankle bells of a woman made one yogi fall down. Just hearing there was a woman nearby. So, you know, we don't want to waste our time trying to develop these mystic potencies. For what? Sense gratification? No. Sense gratification is available anywhere. It's available to the animals. It's easily available. So sense gratification is not the ultimate goal. Enjoyment of the material energy of Krishna is illusory. It results in karma, right? Reactions. You understand what karma is, right? You do good things, you get good results. You do bad things, you get bad results, right? What happens if you misbehave? Your dad says, oh, you've misbehaved a little bit, so now you get some reaction, right? You get some result, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, I won't do this anymore, right? That's the whole reason we're in the material world. That's why we're a spirit soul inside our body, so that we can learn from our mistakes. Krishna gives us a certain body based on our past karma, the good and bad things we've done. So we get a good body, or we get a bad body, or we get problems. And everyone's going to get problems. The bodies are temporary. It's just going to be that way. So, excuse me, Krishna is speaking really detailed way here about the mystic perfections. And he in the purport, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they point out that all of these potencies, these mystic powers, find their original origin or source in Krishna. Right? Everything is an emanation from Krishna. Everything is his energy and his potency. And there's two kind of potencies. Do you know what the potencies are, Sam? Potencies. What are the two main categories of energies that Krishna has? That's nice. That's a pretty good answer. Yeah, describing Krishna. Do y'all want to say what are the two like main categories? Right. It's material and spiritual. And in the material world, we see both, right? And what's in between is called marginal. It's like in the margins. What's in between spiritual and material is the marginal, and that's us. Because we got a body and we're material, but in our heart is our soul, right? And we're really a spirit soul. That's what we are eternally, and we're not our bodies. So in the material world, it's little of both, right? Spiritual and material, and in between are us, our bodies and our minds and our soul. So Krishna in the spiritual world, though, it's only spiritual. Can you imagine that? You see in the pictures and the paintings here? These are spiritual bodies. They're not, there's cows and cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram. Their bodies are made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Their bodies are completely spiritual. They're totally spiritual. So sometimes we get confused, right? Excuse me. We think Krishna is just a person. We think Krishna is ordinary because he looks like us. Well, that's because we're made to look the way Krishna looked, right? It's not that Krishna is made in our image. It's not that we invented Krishna in our heads, and so we invent God to look like us. A lot of atheists say that. And it's easy to say that, isn't it? Because we see Krishna with two arms, two legs. Oh, he's just ordinary. He's just material. He's just like us. But no, Krishna, we're made in the image and likeness of the Lord. And so we're very fortunate to have this human birth, right? The human birth gives us the chance to question, who are we? Why are we here? I want to enjoy. I have these senses. And so right after you start to question, who is God? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Then you realize pretty quickly, wow, the purpose of life is to control your senses, right? Austerities, right? Pandava Nirjal Ekadashi, right? We just finished Nirjal Ekadashi. We just had an Ekadashi, right? No grains or beans. Why do you think we do that, Luciano? Why do we not eat any grains or beans on Ekadashi? Do you know why? No? Yeah, it's kind of like that. I shrug my shoulders a lot too. Why? You know, why do we have to, you know? Well, Krishna says to do it, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to do it. And it has to do with the nature of grains on the Ekadashi, on that day, that certain sinfulness is allowed to exist in the grains more fully than it does other days. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only asked his mom to do one thing. Follow the Ekadashi. Wow. That's the only thing he asked his mom to do? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna, right? And his mom is Yashoda. And he said, Mom, just follow the Ekadashi. That's the one thing I want you to do. So it's pretty much be important, right? If Krishna says to do it, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to do it. So we do it, and it is an austerity. Oh, I can't eat grains today? This is terrible. How am I going to have any energy? I have to go to work, or I have to do this, I have to do that, and I don't have any grains. You know, but we do it, and we don't really suffer that much, right? Because you can eat other things, just don't eat grains and beans. Well, sometimes on some days, like yesterday, we did a complete fast. If you wanted to, you didn't have to, and don't eat anything, and that's even harder. Because you're going, wow, you know, I'd like to eat something. Excuse me. And when you don't eat anything all day, it gives you more time to do what? Chant, read, think about Krishna, maybe clean up the house, right? Do something constructive and good. So these austerities are there, and it just made me think of the comparison today, yesterday, of the austerities that we do as part of Ekadashi, the austerities that we do as devotees, getting up early, chanting our rounds, reading the scriptures, only eating Krishna prasad, associating with devotees, and doing everything for Krishna. You know, that's a rare thing. And it is an austerity. It's austerity. It's the austerities that Krishna gives us, that Prabhupada said, Krishna will be pleased if you do these things as an offering to him. And that's what we do. That's why we live our lives the way we do. Why we wear dhotis and kurtas. Why we come to the temple. And we worship Srila Prabhupada, Guru Puja. And we come and chant our rounds. Because these things are helping to purify our consciousness, purify our existence. And Krishna is pleased by that. Krishna hears us when we chant, right? What happens if I call out someone's name? They notice, right? Luciano, Luciano, Luciano. You're going to come running, right? If I call it, Luciano, 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 you'll run maybe. So it's like that with Krishna. The more we call out to Krishna, 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 Krishna hears us. And he wants to run to us, right? And by doing this, we'll be running. We'll want to run more to Krishna. And even though these austerities seem difficult, they really do help us to overcome our material conditioning, to overcome our sense of ourselves as a body with senses that need to be filled with enjoyment, you know, because it's constantly there. The body is constantly telling you, take care of me, do this, give me enjoyment, I need this, I want that, I want pleasure. And we can do those things. That's the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness. We can do those things, but we do them for Krishna in a controlled way, in a controlled way. So the connection with the austerities, some people want so much power that they perform incredible austerities, like these yogis do, to get these mystic cities, these mystic powers. And so the devotees explain that Krishna does all these things. Krishna is already smaller than the smallest, right? Because he's in every atom. He's in every atom. Krishna is in everything, every atom. But is he in the atom the same way he's on the altar? No, he's not. He's expanded himself into everything, but it's not the same. I can't worship this table and get the same effect as if we worship the deities, right? Krishna's in the deity in a special way. And he can't just take anything and worship it and say, this is my deity, you know, this is my worshipable object. It's not going to have any effect. It's not bona fide. It's like if you want to post a letter, right? Can you just make a box, a cardboard box in your room and write the letter and put an address on it, put a stamp on it, and then put it in your box in your house? Is it going to get where you want it to go? No, it's not a bona fide post box. It's just one you made in your house, right? So it's the same way with a deity. The deity is a bona fide expansion of Krishna that can accept our love and devotion, that can be a bona fide conduit, a connection with Krishna. It is Krishna. So we want that letter to go to the right place. We got to go to a bona fide post office box. And we put our letter in that post box, and what happens? The letter gets delivered to its source. So we know that the proper source, the deities, are one that's installed by pure devotee. And he says, now you can worship this form. And we accept that Prabhupada had that ability, that potency, so that Krishna would come into these forms and say, yes, you can worship me. You can cook for me. You can bathe me. You can offer me nice items. You can do arti for me. You can offer me flowers and beautiful clothes. And it's such an ecstatic activity, you know, to do deity worship, right? They're so beautiful. Don't you just want to go up there and touch them and be a part of their and help them and do all these things? Yeah, because they're so gorgeous. They're so beautiful. And they are very, very, very special to be able to do deity worship. Srila Prabhupada gave this to the devotees, this special activity to link us to Krishna more carefully, more deeply. Because we chant our rounds and we know Krishna's not different from his name, but I'm not yet feeling the fullness of that realization. I'm still struggling with it. Krishna is his name. But when I chant, it's dry. It's hard. I don't want to chant. I want to do something else. But I force myself. We force ourselves to chant, right? We come to the temple and it's more fun. Oh, we're chanting in a group together. Oh, that's enjoyable. And then so Srila Prabhupada was so kind. He gave us deity worship. You know, something that's just been done for forever. Krishna has set up this system of deity worship so that we can feel and see and understand that there's something way, way, way more beautiful than anything we ever saw in the material world, right? Is there anything more fabulous than Krishna, Radharani, their activities, their pastimes, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Subhadra Devi, Gorni Thai? And if you know just a little tiny bit about all their pastimes, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it's a lot more fun to think about that than trying to think about some movie or comic book or newspaper article or book or some literature that's trying to explain something they don't really understand, but it's sort of neat and how they tell the story. It just pales in comparison. It's nothing compared to the pastimes of Krishna, how exciting and wonderful. And if you want epic struggles, epic battles, incredible things that happen, the Ramayana, right? What happens? Who steals Ram's wife, Sita Devi? Do you know, Luciano? Do you guys know? Who steals Ram's wife? Who's the bad guy in Ramayana? He has 10 heads. And he comes and he steals Sita and takes her to Lanka. That's kind of a hard question. I should have started out. Do you know who it was? Ravana, yeah, he steals Sita, God's wife, you know? Oh my gosh. You know, Ram is so beloved and he's banished and they're in the forest and then, you know, Ravana comes and by a trick, you know, he tricks Sita and then Sita's kidnapped. And what happens? Who helps Ram to get Sita back? He's a very famous monkey, half man, half monkey. Do you know his name? Begins with a H. Hanumanji, right. Hanuman. All these pastimes. People love Hanuman, right? They love him because he just loves Ram and Sita. And if you pull open, he shows his heart in there, Sita and Ram. That's all that matters. His worshipful objects are Sita and Ram. He's the servant of Lord Ramchandra. And these are examples for us. These pastimes are there to show us that nothing, there's no pastimes greater than Krishna's pastimes, Ram's pastimes. The Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita is spoken right in the middle of Mahabharata, right? Krishna gives us the song of God, his own song, explaining everything. So it's so amazing. So the tapasya, the austerities that we perform, we're not doing them for these mystic potencies. You know, we don't want mystic powers. These 8 mystic perfections that arise from Krishna and that Krishna have, but they're very minor for Krishna, right? Krishna's, the ultimate nature of Krishna is way, way, way beyond this even, right? Because he created everything, the whole spiritual world. Everything in the material worlds are just a little part of the spiritual world, right? And there's never a time he did not exist. That's hard for us to wrap our heads around, right? Because we have beginning, middle, end. Everything in the material world has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Krishna has no end. He has no beginning. He's always existed. Radharani has always existed. Balaramji has always existed. We have always existed. Really? We have our spirit soul, who we really are. Yeah. So we want to do austerities. We want to engage in the kind of austerities that will help us to understand Krishna, that will make us Krishna conscious. But we don't want the austerities that keep us attached to the material world. Prabhupada said, I mean, what is the point of, you know, doing all these spiritual practices so that you could become lighter than the lightest, right? We talked about that one. And you can ride on a beam of light, on a shaft of beautiful sunlight coming all the way from the sun to the earth planet. If you're lighter than the lightest, you can get on that light beam and you can go right to the sun planet. Okay, what do you do once you're there? Well, I'm here. What am I supposed to do? You know, do you want to see the predominating deity of that planet? Do you want to go on that planet? Do you want to see that? You know, it's all leveled. So what is the point? Even if you do everything and you get the highest thing that you can get, if you go to the sun planet and you meet the sun god himself, Surya, who is he? He's a demigod. God with a little g. Oh boy, I spent thousands of years perfecting this mystic potency so that I can ride a light to meet Surya. That's pretty nice because he's, you know, a very opulent demigod and it's a heavenly planet, right? The sun is heavenly. But it's not Krishna. It's just one of the demigods, the servants of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, why waste all the time, thousands or millions of years, just to meet demigods? Or to worship demigods. You can go right to the source of the demigods. The person that created the demigods and created everything. The spiritual worlds, the material worlds, Krishna. And even in this life, on this planet, at this time, right now, all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna. Follow some regulative principles. Read some scriptures. Associate with each other. Wow. A lot easier than developing mystic perfections, the result of which is just to meet demigods or get some material enjoyment. So, Krishna is very kind and he's explaining things nicely to us, and we're so fortunate. And that's my meager attempt at explaining this a little bit. And I appreciate y'all being here. Thanks for your attention and kindly being here. And really appreciate y'all being here as much as you can. We know you're down in Buffalo too, and so y'all come up a lot. We really appreciate it. It's nice to see you. Nice devotees, nice devotee family. And Sam, thanks for being here. You're a stalwart. Do you know what year you started coming to the temple? Do you remember?
Yeah, in 1997.
In 97. Sam's been coming since 97. I thought it was earlier than that.
Yeah, 97.
Okay. Well, thanks for being here. Do we have any comments or questions? Does anybody want to ask any questions? I know it's breakfast time. If you haven't broke fast yet, then they're going to have breakfast out soon. So we get to take some grains today. And that's a nice thing. So thanks again. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.